Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. One in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the show. Again, news of the day, not a whole lot. We can recap the NBA at some point, but all you need to know really is the Lakers beat the Suns. The Bucks took a commanding lead over the Heat.
Barkley calls it a series.
Yeah, looking for a sweep. What was the third game last night?
Which ones did you mention again?
I'll get it for you.
Miami, you mentioned Miami. Lakers, Suns.
Oh, Denver. Thanks to Nuggets. Ex-Rocket Austin Rivers with a massive fourth quarter. Denver on the road took a 2-1 series lead against Portland. Tonight, you've got Clippers-Mavs game 3 in Dallas with the Clips down 2. You've got Brooklyn and Boston on ABC, which isn't even a game. If you want to put one on ABC, the more compelling game is Knicks at Hawks tied at 1. So there you have that. Bucks starter Dominic DiVincenzo is now out for the playoffs with an ankle injury.
Unfortunate
for a team that's rolling, that's going to be well-rested. He was a guy, not that he scored a lot, but he did little things and defended well and was athletic. So that's a loss for the Bucks.
For sure.
That's not great. We mentioned a big weekend series with the Padres coming up for your Astros as Framber Valdez will make his season debut and pitch for the Stros tonight. And so that'll be interesting to see how he goes up against the likes of Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., Eric Hosmer and company. Padres have quietly one of the best teams in baseball. So the homestand continues with tough talent, and that should be a good game. So that's on the docket as well. We covered a lot of non-sports as well, or kind of sportsy stuff, ESPN-related stuff and otherwise, as we continue the dialogue. So all that good, fine and dandy. And we also gave away some Skeeters tickets along the way. So
I think this is Tatis Jr.'s first appearance in Minute Maid Park.
Ever?
I believe so.
Really?
I believe so. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first time Tatis Jr. has ever played at Minute Maid Park. So if you're just as big of a Tatis fan as I am.
Yeah, I am a fan of his.
Then maybe you want to go check this game out, dude.
So,
or one of the games.
Yesterday, we spent some time on the popcorn-throwing Philly fan with Westbrook, the loogie spitter in New York, and then, of course, the fan fight between the Dodger fan and the Astros. Now, by the way, I do want, for in the sake of fairness, by the time I got home last night, the news stations were saying that the Astros fans instigated it and that the Dodger fan just finally said, you want some of this?
I told you.
And pounded it.
I told you I'm not getting involved with these dumb fans. Why would I get involved? And then it turns out that the Astros fan instigated it, and then he got his ass whipped.
Well, the news story also said that they were very upset with you because if you had been there to break it up, it would have never gotten to the point of blows being thrown.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would have done.
Just throwing it out there. So I thought we were done with the fan experience. I thought, well, not a good look for sports when we're getting back to 100% capacities and trying to get everybody back in the building and doing all these things the right way. Well, we weren't done. As it turns out, there was more. And it wasn't good. And shockingly enough, it came from Salt Lake City, Utah, and Jazz fans. As three separate Jazz fans were not only removed from the building, but they also were banned from the building for at least a year indefinitely because they were...
A year or indefinitely? That's not the same. Like, it's got to be one or the other.
It's going to be a minimum of a year, but it's ruled indefinitely. They'll review it after a year.
That makes more sense.
So, and I believe that's the thing with the Knicks guy, too. They said that with the Knicks. I don't know if that's with Philly
because they
can't
control it. They can't control some dude coming back after a season or after 20 games and act like they can remember him.
Like, it's one thing, Nick, like in Houston. If you're banned from either Toyota Center, Minute Maid Park, whatever, or NRG.
I'll see you in 2 weeks, homie.
But otherwise, you could still do other things. You can find other venues for concerts. There's going to be fairly big names that go to different venues. There's nothing else in Salt Lake.
Well,
if you're banned from that building, your entertainment for the year or longer is off. It's cut off. You might as well move down.
What kind of entertainment is there in Utah anyway? It's your fault for being from Utah.
Or going there or living there. If you didn't, if you didn't grow up there and you're forced to live there.
You have to make me a billionaire to go live in Salt Lake City. And you don't
get out the first chance you get. You're an idiot. More than an idiot than just being a Jazz fan. Okay. Here's where it gets even worse. It's not just a common fan that spit on Trae Young or a common fan that dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook. These fans went after Ja Morant's parents, and they got racial.
Of course. What did they say? Do we know the words? Do we have any audio? We obviously couldn't play it if it's, like, profane. I wouldn't want to play it. But
stands, I don't think you're going to get audio.
So what did they have to say about, like, how did the parents react? Were they immediately kicked out? How did the situation unfold?
So Ja's dad, T. Morant, says that there were three separate incidents. He did commend the Jazz security staff for quickly and swiftly handling all three. He basically said the fans made lewd, racist remarks. And Ja, after the game, also tweeted about it, basically getting to the point of saying, "My family should be able to cheer for me and my teammates without getting inappropriate S said to them." And his dad said in an interview with ESPN, "I know heckling. We were doing that the whole game, but that's different than heckling. That's disrespectful. That's too far out of the line. You don't say nothing like that heckling. It's beyond heckling."
Yeah, and there's definitely a difference. And some fans just don't know it. Like, some fans will absolutely think that what they're doing is okay, or it's not trash talking, or it's, you know, it's just heckling. They think it's okay. Like the texter yesterday who said that a fan has a right to throw popcorn. Now, a lot of us were, you and I were getting, I guess, some heat for saying, "Oh, it was just popcorn."
People had said that, right?
Yeah, they're saying it was just popcorn. And I think AJ had the same. He's like, "Man, it's just popcorn. You make a million." Dude, all you guys would be upset if popcorn was thrown at you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not your
right.
It's
not like spitting in your face, no. But it's still disrespectful all the same. Just to a different level. So, Nick, you asked, and now I've been able to uncover some of this. Morant's dad said one fan made a sexually explicit remark to his wife, who was sitting a couple seats over, and he confronted the man before security got involved to de-escalate the situation. Then another Jazz fan told him, "I'll put a nickel in your back and watch you dance, boy."
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so over the line. Yeah, he said several other Jazz fans who had been enjoying good-spirited trash talk with the Morants and their family friends actually confronted that fan and alerted security. He was shocked the Jazz fans did this, but good for them.
Yeah. I think we're done with those quotes anyway. But yeah, I understand that there's fans that actually think that there's that understand what the difference is between heckling and trash talking and being inappropriate, and some of them don't. Like, some of them, there's probably some idiot over there in Utah that thinks that that's justified. A sexually explicit comment to someone's wife, a player's father's wife, is okay.
Right. Well, but nonetheless, that the second comment, too, crosses way too many lines. And then the third one was basically a shut the F up B word. So,
yeah.
But here's the thing, Nick. On the same day, ironically, news comes out that the couple that felt they were disrespected sold out and their name was tarnished because Russell Westbrook called them out for what they said to him, had their massive lawsuit thrown out of court.
$100 million lawsuit thrown out.
But here's the kicker. Their names are now out there. Now everybody can have at it.
Yeah. And I mean, the judge probably just saw that and said, "You know what? This is a dumb case. I'm throwing it out and you're certainly not getting $100 million. It's just people don't care. And the thing is, because these news are coming out and we're talking about it, it's going to be a continuation into the playoffs. You're going to see this at different arenas throughout, both on the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. And you're going to see a bunch of crazy fans that are just, they just don't understand when to shut up.
Well, especially think about those, Nick, we're
talking about with alcohol in your system.
Was it four incidents in 24 hours?
I believe so, yeah.
Astros, Sixers, Knicks, and this one. So four incidents. All of a sudden, Is there any reason to think it's going to stop? And also from a league perspective, as we talked about yesterday, wouldn't it have better to be proactively getting in front of this? Because now you're going to have, like you said, we're going to have a major issue on our hands because now more fans are going to start getting more raucous and cross the line.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just going to be a domino effect. It's going to be a massive domino effect. I think the Knicks venue could get crazy for sure. We know about Utah. And really any venue of a team that's still in the playoffs can get pretty rowdy. And they're sounding a lot more loud now because more fans are getting in. I think if the Knicks advance to the second round, if you want to go to the game, you have to be vaccinated, if I'm not mistaken. So that's only in the event that they advance to the next round. I think there's a lot of people vaccinated.
The playoffs are only going to get more intense, too. The playoffs are only going to get more raucous because the stakes are going up with every round. People are going to get more jacked up.
100%.
So just wanted to throw that out there as well because that broke after we got off the air yesterday. But there's no place in sports for that. I mean, you just got to slow down and understand what the true limitations are before you cross the line. And it's not just cussing anymore. You just got to be a more professional and adult about things. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about New Breaks. Look, I've been telling you about New Breaks for a while. It's a concept that is really one that people should be jumping on more often, because it's like when you started to hear about all these things with the grocery store chains going, instead of spending an hour grocery shopping, well, we'll either deliver it to you or you can pick it up curbside, and it saves you time and energy. Well, they're doing it with brakes now too, with New Brakes. And the thing is, they're certified brake technicians. Their prices are competitive with those of brake shops. The only difference is you don't have to go to the brake place, sit in a bad waiting room, watch someone else's television programs, drinking cold coffee, eating vending machine food, and being really uncomfortable around people you don't know. You could be kicking it in your living room, watching a game, drinking a beer, or mowing the lawn. Or maybe you want them to come to your work and they can do it in the parking garage while you're still at your desk. These are the kind of things. You save time, and you're also getting a quality job from a certified technician. And all they do is brakes. They're not going to upcharge you and try and tell you you need an oil change too and your shocks checked or your spark plugs changed. It's all about brakes. And all you got to do is get in touch with them. It's nubrakes.com, nubrakes.com, newbrakes.com. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, 10% off right from the top. And then they're going to show you what they can do and do a great job doing it. Aggie Matt, one of our loyal listeners, had him out, I think, last week. And they came to him and did the job, and he was excited. You can do the same thing. Save time. Save the energy that it takes to spend all that to go across town and go to the brake shop. Have them come to you and do what they do on a daily basis, and that's brakes. It's nubrakes.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I tried to enable cuss words on the Twitch, and everybody's cussing at me, and it didn't work.
Do you see it now?
No, it didn't work. All right. I want that off. I want the profanity off. All right, I'll keep screwing.
So the show, I can't believe we're doing this on there, but yeah. show messages caught by AutoMod.
We'll do the rest of it on the break. I don't want to bore people.
Sorry, Laminac is not here. Your IT guy is not here, buddy.
That's a good point. You know, and one of my friends this morning was complimenting me on my exquisite control of social media and all the things. And I'm like, yeah, people here don't think that. So, Nick, I did want to get real for you for a second. With an appropriate reason, but
okay.
Because you and I, we talk a lot off the air, and we're friends, and we've had some similar life experiences. But I was wondering if you go through what I go through, which is there are times that like you're having a bad day, and you just feel like you're just not yourself, and you don't know, you can't really put your finger on it. And I've had so many of these times like this in the past, and then all of a sudden I go. Today I was prepared for it. Today would have been my dad's birthday. And it's always one of those days where if I didn't subconsciously remember my dad's birthday's coming up, and I know you lost your dad too. Yeah. I don't know. There's 2 days in particular, 3 days in particular that this never fails. And a lot of times it's when I'm going a million miles an hour in my schedule and my day, and all of a sudden it's like really crappy and I go, well, God, my mom died that day or my dad died that day or their birthdays. And today's one of those days. At least I was out in front of it today and I remembered it was his birthday and put something on Facebook where it brought back positive memories from a lot of people. But it's like, I hate that day.
Oh, I hate it. Honestly, for me, it even begins in May because my dad's birthday is the month following my birthday. So my birthday is in May and his is in June. So it's essentially like a month and like 10 days. So really the month of May, I'm already thinking about it. So I get that. I get that for sure.
Yeah,
so, I get it 100%. But happy birthday and RIP Pops, man.
Big Dave, yeah. And that's my thing. This is kind of an escape too. So I can kind of like for 3 hours tune out on that and tune into this. And that's why I love y'all. So we'll continue to go. But I knew you would know what I was feeling because it's not fun.
No, it's not. Days. It's not. But you're right. This place is like this is definitely a place to kind of vent without
it's like therapy.
Venting.
Yeah. Yeah. But it that's really why is. Dumbass texts are not going to be accepted today without any kind of pushback.
That's for sure. And Utah still sucks.
And by the way, I fixed it because now I'm getting every cuss word in the book on
now
on
they're
Twitch.
Not going to stop. And by the way, you can put penis in there. It's not going to stop. That doesn't get blocked out.
Klopp's just went with his favorite term. So other than that, I'm looking for what else we got on the rundown. That what's on your mind? You got anything that you're going with? Because we covered the fan experience.
We did.
The fact that how about your boy?
Which one?
How about your boy Showtime?
I don't. I haven't. I was at that point. The tequila was flowing. So what did he do this time?
So your boy's supposed to start last night. Shohei Ohtani's supposed to pitch for the Angels against the A's in Oakland. Okay.
Okay.
So he's on the road.
Okay.
There's an issue with the Bay Bridge. Major traffic jam. So the team buses, and it's okay because they're leaving with plenty of time. So the team buses will still have plenty of time to get the guys to the stadium that are just players.
Okay.
But he's supposed to pitch, and he's got a routine. And his routine has to start by 4 p.m. for a 7 o'clock game. So he gets on BART, which is Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Okay.
And he gets sidetracked because they're not real familiar with BART. And don't realize when they got to get off and transfer and get on another train to get to the line, whatever like that. They're on the phone with manager Joe Madden the whole time. And eventually at a certain point, they just got to call it and they go, all right, we're scratching you. You're not pitching tonight.
Oh, I wonder how he reacted to that. Because you don't mess with a pitcher's routine like that. If he's supposed to be there by 4.
But that's why I think they didn't pitch him.
Because they didn't want to, and maybe he didn't want, I guess it depends on how he reacted to it. Like, they're like, look, bro, you're not getting your normal routine, so we're not going to pitch you. Does he react and say, no, I still want to pitch, or no, you're right, I didn't get my normal routine in. I don't want to get myself hurt. And that's probably the best route. I mean.
So Madden said they kept pushing him back, and he said, for us, Shohei's most comfortable, and he's regimented to get everything going about 4 o'clock for his start. It exceeded that by an hour. So we started calling the audible at that point, and we just weren't going to pitch him tonight. And if we're not going to pitch him, we're going to DH him. They wanted his bat in the lineup, but they just
– yeah.
And some guys are like that. You know, they said that the other night that Luis Garcia, on his way to warm up in the bullpen before a game, actually stopped with fans and took selfies, which I thought was totally cool. But I also thought – Justin Verlander or Zach Greinke are never doing
There's that. No way Verlander's doing that.
They said you can't even talk to Verlander on a game day. Clemens was the same way.
Yeah, I actually had that experience with Verlander. Like when I wanted to get a liner or something like that. I forgot what it was, and he wouldn't do it because he wasn't playing that. Or was it because he had just signed with the Astros too? Yeah. But yeah, certain players are not big like that, you know? And Verlander's probably pretty popular, so he's had his fair share of people bum-rushing him for autographs, plus who he's married to, plus the fact that he's a really good pitcher and known and name recognition. I mean, I can see how he gets a little overwhelmed by it, though. He does get a little bit annoying. Certainly, that's one thing that we appreciated about the Houston Astros clubhouse, because even before they won the World Series and even a little bit after they won the World Series, their attitude did not change that much. Yeah, they are a little bit more cocky, as you should be after winning a World Series. You just won a World Series. But for the most part, man, their clubhouse culture is awesome. They're cool. They're accessible. They're willing to talk in most cases. And this has happened even after the scandal.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that about the Houston Astros.
It's always different, too, because when you are an established star and then you go to a different organization, especially when you've been with just one your whole career, it's a quick learning curve to figure out what kind of guy is he, what is he, you know, because we know how quirky we've heard about Greinke and then we saw it. But with Verlander, it was almost like, and it's, and part of it too, he's married to a supermodel.
Yeah.
And he had the whole, you know, and so he comes in, and I heard from a lot of people, like, he's just not that guy. Like, he's not going to socialize. He's not going to want, you know, just take that one selfie, or he's not going to want to sign a whole bunch of stuff.
No.
And he's just very much kept to himself. Whereas you get those other guys that are just always accessible,
yeah,
always willing to sign.
And look, it's not like to say that Justin, like, Justin is accessible. Like, he will honor his media responsibilities to the minimum is what he basically will do. You know what I mean? So it's not like he'll do a whole bunch of extra stuff. I have seen him do sign autographs. I don't know how often he does it, but I have seen it. And it was a situation where the team approached him and asked. It wasn't like a person just randomly approached him. Like, so he basically did it because the PR staff asked him. So I can see it. Some people are cooler. Some people hate people. Some people don't.
I always thought it was. I think a lot of it has to do with not just your experiences as a professional athlete, but also in your upbringing. And also the thing that always was mind boggling to me was like the fact that guys making all these millions of dollars don't want to sign autographs unless they're getting paid for it. And the, and I think I told the story once before, but Kevin Garnett's rookie year, for sure, he wouldn't sign anything for anybody. And basically, when people asked him, he said, my agent told me, if I don't sign now, as I get more established and older, my autograph will be worth more, and therefore they'll pay me to sign.
Uh-huh.
But you're also going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. Because
he just looked at it as a business investment, I guess.
You're already getting so many opportunities because of what you do and the exposure and the, and not just a contract, but we talked about the endorsements and the guys with shoe deals and all these major things. You could turn a kid off if you say no.
For sure. For sure. Actually, you won't. It's not even turning them off. Like, if he's a kid, he's probably just going to get hurt. You know what I mean? He's just going to be, like, absolutely devastated. If he's a little bit older, like 16, 17, 18, maybe a young adult, maybe you're right. He will turn off a fan and be like, you know what? I don't like you anymore. I can see that. And that's the worst situation that you can have.
And then you get the other side of the spectrum. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, he was the guy that he said when he was growing up in Greece that he would sell bootleg CDs and whatever they could get their hands on, they were trying to sell to tourists because their family didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So now he's a big-time star. And I've told you how these hustlers, from the time that the bus is out front of the hotel to the time the bus drops you off at the building for shoot-arounds and practices, and everywhere in between, that these guys come out with these briefcases they want you to sign because they're immediately going to sell it.
Sure.
Most of the guys, and it was funny because I want to say it was Clyde. Clyde, when we were in Philadelphia, we were going to shoot-around, and we were leaving the hotel, and they even had the bus under the hotel in like a more kind of a private parking garage entrance. We're all going to the bus, and there's this guy, and he's like screaming at all these players. And he's pulling out. I was like, oh, my God. We got on the bus, and Clyde goes, what's up? I go, this guy, he's got like a mini suitcase, and he's got a filing system. And no matter which one of you guys walks at him, he's got like 8x10s. He's got certain things that need to be signed. He goes, yeah. He goes, Joel, watch. When we get to the building for shoot around, that same guy will be waiting. I was like, get out of here. In Philly, in traffic and everything like that. Sure enough, we pull up at the building. Same dude sitting right there. He goes, that's why I won't sign for him. Giannis was the opposite. He never forgot that that's how his family was able to make money. He doesn't care if they sell it. He signs for everybody for that very reason.
Yeah. And you bringing up the bootleg CDs thing, that brings me some memories. Overseas, that's a big thing.
Yes,
they'll take like a blank CD, or even, I remember as a kid being overseas, they would do it to tape. So like before they sold you the bootleg tape, they'd have like this dude in a stand, like, and this is overseas, but he's like, it's basically like a little trailer that he's pushing around like a push cart, and he's got a whole bunch of blank CDs or tapes, and he literally plays the tape for the person that's wanting to buy the bootleg to make sure that the bootleg tape isn't bad.
Yep.
And they would make a living like that, bro.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. All right, so we'll continue. That's the midway point of the program. We're going to take a quick break, come back the second half of the show. Lots more to get to, including your involvement, Twitch, Twitter, calls, and, of course, texts on the HRNP listener line. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I saw Dr. O this morning. Dr. O is phenomenal. They take my blood pressure. I get my blood work done to make sure everything's cool, get a B12 shot every week, and they take care of so many people in so many different ways. The great thing is it's conveniently located near downtown Houston. They have two locations. The other great thing is that they personally care. So when you make an appointment with Apollo Men's Health, you're going to find out that most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. More important than that, when you come in, they're going to talk to you and treat you like a friend or a family member. Do you want privacy? You don't feel comfortable in the waiting room? Why don't you step into an exam room? Because they're going to ask you some real tough questions. But if you can give them honest answers, and especially what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve, they're going to set up a program and get you results. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, they're going to have you feeling like you were feeling in your 20s all over again, and you thought you could never feel that way again. It's possible with Apollo Men's Health. It starts with hormone therapy for men and women. It goes all the way to HGH peptide therapy for recovery. And it also can be with your full body composition analysis, a way to get you to losing weight and feeling better about yourself. Check them out today. You mentioned my name and ESPN Radio. You get that free B12 shot on your first visit, but go to apollomh.com and let the process begin. Set up the first appointment and find out what I already know. Great people doing great things. Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show right now in The Press Box, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It's Nick and myself taking you all the way up until 4. Boy, if it's something in the water, I better tell Lisa not to be drinking it.
What's wrong with it?
It seems like it's Mass Exodus Day on local television in Houston. First, Tom Cook, ABC 13 longtime announcer that was doing mornings. This was his last show today after a long and illustrious career in Houston. He's done. Then Britta Merwin, the weather lady with Lisa in the mornings on KPRC Channel 2, announced she's leaving June 4th.
Okay.
And now Channel 11 has announced that meteorologist Blake Matthews, who Lisa also used to work with from time to time, is also leaving town.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on, but a lot of TV people on the way out.
I'm not too familiar with those weather people, to be honest with you. I use something called an app, and I check my weather that way. So I'm not really in tune with them leaving. Don't really care that they're leaving, to be honest with you. I did not know, had no clue, don't care, just to be honest with you.
Well, you don't care. Okay, I think a lot of people care.
I don't give a damn. They're just going to find another weather lady to replace them. That's what happens.
Salty guy, then we'll just skip that.
I'm not just salty at all. I just don't care.
It's kind of weird that, well, you care about other things with the TV people that I can't talk about. But
I mean, that's the thing. If we were discussing that, but you're going to get in trouble.
No, you can discuss it all you want.
I mean, I don't even know the what. So is Britta, who's the, okay, which with the girl is leaving? Britta?
Britta Merwin.
All right, let's look her up.
Blake Matthews and Tom Cook, spelled K-O-C-H, on his last day on Channel 13.
Very pretty, Britta Merwin. I remember now. I remember her face. Yep.
Okay.
Probably really good at her job.
Blake Matthews is. You can look him up. That's fine.
No, I'm not looking up Blake Matthews.
Okay. So I just thought for the local peeps that watch TV, there you go. Some local TV people moving on. Did you see that Janoris Jenkins? I guess his nickname is Jackrabbit. He was with the Saints. He's been with the Giants. He's now with the Tennessee Titans, Nick. But he went to the airport in Atlanta. He decided that if he was going to the airport, it'd be a good idea to take his Rolls Royce. Not an Uber, not having someone drop him off. He took the Rolls, he left it in the airport, and he left town. Much to his chagrin, when he came back, it was gone.
See, I would have thought it would be safe at the airport parking lot too, though, wouldn't you think?
Like, where are you parking this thing? Just in the ramp?
Even if it's just like okay, so like at Intercontinental, when you go to like the international like parking lot terminal, when I used to drop like my folks off, like you could be potentially on the like 12th, 13th floor
right.
Parking. You need that pass to get out, and then it remembers how many days you've been there. Now, if it's like a park and ride type of situation, or like a parking spot where you're like a situation where you park the car and you leave it there for 3 or 4 days and then you're shuttled, I guess, but I feel like that would be an inside job, to be honest with you.
So here's the weird thing. Like, if you're going to roll to the airport in a Rolls, you can't park it in the economy lot. I just feel like that's kind of like a, you're asking for trouble if you park it in the economy lot, right? He said he parked the $250,000 vehicle in the South Economy lot at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta on May 5th and flew to Florida. According to Jenkins, no one has any idea the whereabouts of the vehicle. He says he felt mistreated by the staff at the airport because they gave me the complete runaround, he said on social media. The airport was in no way, shape, or form empathetic, concerned, or in shock like that something like this could happen. Well, mainly because most people don't bring a Rolls to the airport.
I haven't really. I've seen nice cars, though. I've seen, like, big-body Mercedes, like six-figure Mercedes.
But what's the airport supposed to do? That's a police issue once it's gone.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm sure some sort of police report was filed and they'll have to find it. But again, it just sounds, to me, airport parking, if you get away with stealing a $250,000 car, that just sounds like an inside job.
Now, we could get, you probably could get a lot of catalytic converters there. But that's a different show where we give you guys tips on where to not get caught by the police and make money. I don't believe that you should be, you roll up in a Rolls. Do they have valet at the airport?
See, I don't think so. Not valet. No, I haven't seen it. If there is, someone can tell me, but I've never seen valet. I know about like the parking spot situations. I know there's a drop off. I know there's like other parking places that are more expensive than others. I've never had an issue, but I don't drive Rolls Royce.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Cause I wouldn't know like how the rich folks pull off
right.
driving to a Rolls. But when you, so if he's in the economy lot, I'm assuming that's like you were talking about parking garage, take ticket to get in. You got to give a ticket to get out. So, is there cameras at the booth location with cars going in and out? Because that would be my first thing. Then I'd be upset that the airport wasn't helping me out. The police should be able to get to them too. But I'm going to need to see surveillance so I can see, did anybody leave in the last couple of days? And I'll go through every bit of tape if I have to. But someone had to see somebody leave it in a Rolls.
Yeah, probably. And I would imagine, though, and maybe someone can correct me on this, maybe there's an officer listening, but I don't know if they can reveal, give you the tape or footage. I think that has to be given to the...
I was kidding. Like, if they said they didn't
have... Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, I think they would have to give it to the police. So even if you were, like, demanding it or you wanted it, there's not really much you can do outside call the police. So it's not like it's a... But, yeah, if I had a $250,000... Rolls Royce, I would be very particular about where I put it, for sure. No question.
Yeah, and I think that this should be a solvable crime as opposed to some of the other things that we see. I mean, how many times are we going to see on the news that a major crime happens and the person just got away?
Yeah, and you would, and to the Twitch, whoever put in the chat, you would think there would be some sort of location device on that thing.
Oh, you think so? Like a GPS?
On a $250,000 Rolls Royce, and now you're going to be cheap and stop at the point where, you know what, I dropped $250,000 on this car, but I'm not going to pay for the location stuff. I guess maybe it's a service you have to pay for where it's like a monthly subscription. You just don't want to pay for it or subscribe. But I would. I mean, if I have the money to pay $250,000 for a car, I'd kind of want to know where it's at, you know?
Someone I would imagine you left the parking ticket in the car. Well, I could see people doing I'm not going to say that's careless. I would do it because otherwise I'd lose it on the trip and not remember where I put it. So I don't think that's an issue there. So nevertheless, how many Rolls Royces are going through the checkout point on a daily basis? That's where I'm saying if you get the surveillance video, it's pretty obvious this isn't your average car in the economy lot.
Yeah.
And in most cases, someone that's taken the tickets, unless you do it all without anybody's help, if you avoid the person in the booth and you just pay it with a credit card or whatever, but that could also be something. Because at least if you can see the car and you see that they did the transaction completely electronically with the keypad, well, I got the guy's credit card because he used it to pay for the ticket.
Yeah.
And if not, if I'm taking the ticket and I'm in the booth, I'm going, damn, that's a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, it stands out.
If you question them, someone that was working goes, oh, yeah, the other night at about 7:30, the Rolls went out of here.
Yeah.
It should be a solvable crime. I don't know if it will be.
I think it will be. I don't think this person will get away. Unless he's so good at it and he's already got it chopped up at the chop shop, which is, I guess, is a possibility if we're being realistic.
It definitely could be. Yeah.
I used to know a few chop shops. Not mine.
I mean, you can feel free to tell the world how to get involved.
Boy, do
in
they
chop
break
shopping.
They break those cars down quick, Joel.
I bet
you don't. You would be shocked at how quick they will break down a car. Like they will, like bodies off the like fenders, rear quarter panels, tires, wheels, parts, engine parts, transmission parts. I mean, they. It's way easier to break something down like, to put it together, for sure.
It's like an assembly line, right? Once they get a car
in, it's not just one person. No way.
They're like, no way. Everybody's got a one of the what, like the pit crew on a NASCAR race, where they just take the tires, take the rims.
Nope. I would be great at that job, by the way.
I don't doubt it. Someone said if it's stolen rolls, they probably got a stolen credit card. They're paying for the ticket. Fair point.
Ooh, that's right.
Good
that's
fair
right.
point there. It's a good discussion, people. All right, we'll continue to roll. Hour number 2, 3-hour program. Press Box on a Friday. ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back. Almost 3 hour number 2, 3 hour program on a Friday. Getting ready for a long weekend. We are off, as a reminder, on Monday. Off on Monday. So we get the extra day along with you. We will be back on Tuesday.
Extra day of drinking for Joel Blank.
No, that's you. See, and here's the other thing. Like, someone chimed in earlier. Oh, great story from the guy that doesn't drink. You know what? But I did. And I probably did it better than you did back in the day. I just don't anymore because I choose not to, and I still could. So I don't understand why that's a big hang-up.
I don't understand why that's a big hang-up either. But you're right about these Southside White Sox jerseys. I'm a fan. You told me about it in the break.
I told Nick during the break that baseball finally got one right. And I just say just one. We know earlier this week, us, the Blitz, others, were killing New Era and Major League Baseball for these stupid hats that they finally took off their website because they were too busy and had too much going on and they
garbage.
Were dumb. Well, we also talked about when they the first of these, we'll just call them for the sake of another name, the city jerseys for MLB, like the NBA. NBA always gets it right for the most part.
For the most part.
Because they always have tie-ins and the colors are close and everything like that. We mentioned it when the baseball said they were going to do this, that the first one to come out was the Red Sox. Only the Red Sox were going to pay homage to the Boston Marathon, whose colors are yellow and light blue. So suddenly, you're going to put the Red Sox in a uniform that not only doesn't have red socks, but that their uniform's going to be yellow and blue.
Yeah.
Makes zero sense.
Did not see that at all. But
the
look,
Chicago White Sox are out with theirs. They got this one right.
So it has pinstripes and it has Southside written in front. It's black with white stripes, right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I like that a lot. And normally, Joel, like I don't like stripes on jerseys. I remember I liked the Orlando Magic jerseys back in the day, mostly in part because I was a massive, massive fan of Penny.
Yep.
Penny Hardaway. Mm-hmm. But if you remember back in the day, Joel, if you didn't buy the like fully authentic one of the Orlando Magic in particular,
right.
They didn't have the stripes on the jersey.
The
$40 one versus the $80 one.
There's names for all of them. I used to know them.
The champion ones.
Yeah, but it's gosh darn it. There's names for the ones actually worn in games.
Regardless.
Then there's the one with the stitched on numbers.
Correct.
And then there's the one that's all heat pressed.
Correct.
And you're right. The heat pressed ones didn't have the pinstripe.
It didn't, but I liked it that way. Like I appreciated that jersey because it didn't have the stripes. Now the black one with the white stripes on Orlando Magic, I didn't like it as much as the blue one, but the blue solid color, particularly that Magic color, I liked it a lot. But this Southside one, they got it right. And like I said, normally I don't like stripes, but I think this one looks good.
Got it. Retail authentic was the close to game uniform. The retail authentic had the stitched on.
It's driving you crazy.
It is. It is. Because working for the Rockets, especially because, you know, we had these signing sessions. So you had to budget and buy them. And then you had to figure out, like, your big sponsors or your big broadcast backers or people that, you know, were using it for a really good auction that you wanted to really do something to make a difference, you'd send them the retail authentic signed.
Are they called Pro Cut?
Pro Cut is the game worn.
Okay.
Retail authentic is like the game worn, just not the exact specific size the players wear.
Okay.
Because the key is there's a little tag on every jersey, all right? And it'll say the size, like 52, 48, whatever. The players, then with the equipment managers, get measured. Some guys have a longer torso, whatever. So it'll be like 52 plus, like for I think it was a 52 plus 4, which means 4 extra inches of length in the torso.
Okay.
Those are the actual Pro Cut. That means it was specifically made for the player, has the most value.
Yeah.
The retail authentic is just the 52 or 48, but still all the specific sewn-on details, like you said, the pinstripes, whatever. And then there's a name for the one that's just the retail one that you could buy at Academy.
Okay. Oh, so you're thinking of the name that's the not that you weren't looking for the Pro Cut one. You were looking for the name for
There was Pro Cut, retail authentic, and then there was one other one. And we used to always go, like, if I went to community and said, hey, I've got someone with an auction. I need an autographed item. Give me a so-and-so jersey. And they're like, well, do you want the Pro Cut, retail authentic, or the, and I can't remember.
Replica? There's a chart here that says Pro Cut, Authentic, Replica, and then Youth Replica.
It might be Replica. I think
that's because they talk about the 36 small, the 40M, which is the medium, the 44, the 48, and the 52. So I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I you're right. Those heat press ones, I didn't like the heat press ones only because if you wore them too much and you washed them too much, the number would fade sometimes. Like my Robert Horry one or my Elijah one, the one I think faded. And I would like wash. That's the only problem I didn't like about the heat press ones. But I did like the material of the $40 one. And I loved how
it's cooler in Houston than because the stitched on is heavy and it's thicker.
And I love the consistency of the prices. It was either 40 or it was 80.
Yeah.
Same thing for the shorts. If you got the best NBA shorts, it was either 40 or it was 80.
You're right. So with these White Sox jerseys, so as you were saying, here's the only knock I have on them. Because I like that they use Southside, which is, again, where the White Sox play as opposed to the Cubs.
Right.
I like the fact they went back in their history when they had the SOX on the black hat with the white lettering and kind of the font style that was kind of like old school. And they just put CHI instead for Chicago, which is cool on the
hat.
I
like that.
The only thing I don't like is, just like you said, it's a black jersey with white lettering, but the pants are also black with white pinstripes. Like the jersey,
I think it
looks like a softball uniform.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I think it would look cooler if it was the black with the white pinstripe jersey with like white pants.
Okay.
That looks like a softball uniform when it's all the pinstripe.
I'm looking it up. I don't like it.
That's the only thing I would change.
I would change that too. I don't like it at all. When I first Googled it, I only looked at the top portion. I didn't look at the pants.
Yeah, me too, because they showed Dallas Keuchel and Tim Anderson. And the jerseys themselves are very, very cool. The only thing is, and again, the White Sox are known for wearing softball uniforms from the times that they actually had shorts.
Back in the day.
And collars on their jerseys, the black and white ones. And then they had, we were talking about the other day, the red, white, and blue ones where it was a V-neck with the big socks across the front in blue outlined in red and white. So they've kind of been softball uniforms too. So it keeps their history in line, but they're not bad.
No, they're not bad. Besides, are you buying the pants anyway? It's only just, I guess on the player, it looks ridiculous.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not buying the pants. I'm just saying.
Buying the jersey.
For the team to look as sharp as they possibly could.
Right.
I wouldn't have the pinstripe pants too.
Agreed.
So if you're interested, you can see it. I'll retweet from Chicago White Sox, the fresh thread. At Pac-Man Joel, I'll retweet the picture of theirs. At least that's better than the Red Sox. That's all I can tell you on that one. Because everything's better than the Red Sox one. And someone else said replica. I guess it is. It's replica. It's retail authentic. And then it's Pro Cut. We got two in the books. We still got an hour to go. Lots more of the show to get to. 3 NBA games tonight. 3 NBA games last night. Those will probably top line as we discuss the final hour. And lots of other things. You got something on your mind when you get off your chest? Bring it to us. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. He's Nick. I'm Joel. We're the Press Box ESPN.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.